Time now for our weekly chat with the experts at ETF.com, the world's leading independent authority on ETFs.
People have been saying there are too many mutual funds since the 80s. For all the talk of smart beta, they haven't pulled in huge assets. The active managers are showing up in the ETF space.
Laura, so we have the grand unveiling of your 2019 ETF predictions today. I'm really excited to go through these. I've had an opportunity to take a look at what your crystal ball turned up. I think I like most of what you have here. I will say I was a bit surprised at a couple of your predictions, just knowing sort of your own personal feelings on these particular topics. But without further ado, let's just jump right in here. So your first prediction you call a gimme. And this is one I would say probably isn't going to surprise most people. You predict fee wars and ETFs will continue, including the very first zero fee ETF. And as I'm sure you saw last week, there was a lot of speculation floating around that perhaps JP Morgan could be the one to launch the first free ETF. So give us your thoughts here. How do you think this goes down?
Sure. So I think it is a gimme that we are going to see the fee wars continue because, you know, we saw so much of it happen in 2018. There were more than 150 ETFs that cut their expense ratios this year, and there's still plenty of room for expense ratios to be cut even further. The average equity ETF costs 54 basis points. The average smart beta ETF costs 52 basis points. You know, it may seem to an outside observer that, you know, ETFs have cut all the fees that they can, that they can't really go any farther, but they actually really can. So they can drop more. And as far as the zero fee ETF goes, you know, like you said, there was some speculation about whether JP Morgan was going to be the one to launch the zero fee fund. I can't predict whether that's going to be the case or not, but we do know that Fidelity's zero fee mutual fund has been an absolute marketing boon for them. It's brought in over $2 billion since the funds launched in September, untold amounts more in terms of people who buy the funds and then get upsold to other, you know, higher margin products. So I really think it's only a matter of time before ETF issuers see that strategy and want to replicate it for their own products.
Yeah, and it does seem like either JP Morgan or Charles Schwab, those are really the two you hear is potentially launching a zero fee ETF. Going back to your point on fees continuing to come down, you know, investors can obviously now get core exposure for a few basis points, right? 3-4 basis points. And I actually saw last week the head of ETFs for both Vanguard and iShares. They seem to make it pretty clear they're not going to offer free ETFs. So I guess expanding upon your prediction of fee wars continuing, do you mean everywhere else, you know, gold, thematic ETFs, factor-based, or do you think the Vanguards and iShares of the world, you know, will relent and we will see further fee reductions in core offerings from those types of providers?
I think that we're probably not going to see core U.S. equity ETFs drop their expense ratios pretty much farther. I mean, the ones that have been dropped, they're pretty low at this point. But there are a wealth of opportunities for places for funds to be cut in their expense ratios. Like you mentioned, gold ETFs. I was covering that earlier this month. We did kind of a roundup on what the expense ratio action that's been happening in the gold market. You know, physical gold ETFs, the least expensive one has gone from 40 basis points down to now 17 basis points. So you're going to see that sort of story play out everywhere from gold to thematics to, you know, to bonds to emerging market bonds to all various quarters in the market. I think we're just going to see this continue.
All right, let's move on to your next prediction. And I'll say this one surprised me a little bit, though I think I'm coming around on this. You say there's not going to be a Bitcoin ETF in 2019. Now, to be honest, I'm still somewhat surprised we didn't see a Bitcoin ETF this year, just given that we do have a fully functioning Bitcoin futures market. Although given what the price of Bitcoin has done, I'm sure the SEC is toasting champagne in their office that they didn't approve that. But why do you think no Bitcoin ETF in 2019?
Well, I think it's probably because, Hester Pierce, who's the SEC commissioner who's in favor of, a Bitcoin ETF, there's been a lot of ink spilled on that. She is all about bringing new opportunities to the market, but she is just one SEC commissioner. The other commissioners have been a little bit more hesitant on, whenever we have hearings on potential new ETFs and so on and so forth. And I think there's just too many unsettled questions about how the SEC would police a cryptocurrency product. Cryptocurrency, as a rule, trades on these overseas exchanges that are anonymous, completely anonymous, and with, inconsistent record keeping that underpins each transaction. And that's not really an ocean that I see the SEC wanting to wade into. And you're right, the futures markets have imposed some level of consistency and traceability and price discovery into the market. But there's actually still fairly little volume on these futures contracts, which I think is a further disincentive in the SEC's book towards greenlighting a Bitcoin fund.
Well, and I think even Hester Pierce, I saw she made some comments a few weeks ago pertaining to a crypto ETF. She said, don't hold your breath. It could come tomorrow or in 20 years. So clearly she's seeing the writing on the wall as well. All right, your next prediction, I'll say this does flat out surprise me. So you say we will see another marijuana ETF hit the market in 2019. Of course, right now, the only pure play option is the ETFMG, Alternative Harvest ETF, ticker MJ. I think I'm surprised by this one just because I know you've done a lot of research on the custodial issues here, how custodians are unwilling to support a marijuana ETF, right? They fear tripping over federal laws and losing their banking licenses. So what changes between now and the end of 2019?
So there are a number of interesting proposals out there now that could potentially address the custodian issue. I've covered a few of them on the site, one of which being using a broker-dealer to be the custodian of the fund instead of a large U.S. bank. And so that would kind of address some of the custodial risk in these funds, that being that banks can't legally hold marijuana stocks without risking their FDIC insurance and their banking license. But it really goes back to what I'm always saying whenever I come on here and talk about marijuana ETFs, which is that the big obstacle holding them back is legalization. Pot is just still not federally legal. I think after 2018's election cycle, however, there's been a bit of a political shift. The House of Representatives, going from Republican to Democratic control, coupled with the fact that Jeff Sessions, who is a noted anti-pot advocate, is now out as head of the Justice Department. So I think you're going to see sort of a movement in a positive direction towards legalization. We probably aren't going to see pot be legalized on a federal level this year, not without a different Senate and different president and all of that. But, who knows? We might see it kind of go back to the way, to the status it was in maybe 2016, 2015. Legalization would be an easy way for Congress to gain a little goodwill with a populace that very much wants marijuana to be legal. And certainly the business incentive is there. You see all of these companies that are testing the waters and making deals and mergers to explore opportunities in the marijuana space. I really do think it's just a matter of time. And maybe next year is the year.
Laura, let's say you're right and we do get a couple more pot ETFs on the market. Do you think there's enough investor interest to support multiple pot ETFs?
I do think there is. And I think the reason there is because there's some investor concern about the fund that is currently there. And I think even just one extra fund on the market would give those investors who may be a little reticent to invest in that fund, given the custodial risk associated with it, it would give them an alternative. There are always going to be people who want to invest in MJ. I think it's it's certainly an option, but more options on the market are better. And this is a space that has pent up demand. We see with the Horizons ETFs over in Canada. Horizons has two marijuana ETFs currently, actually maybe three. Their assets are remarkably sticky. Regardless of what the marijuana price does, these assets don't go anywhere, which to me suggests that there's huge pent-up demand for marijuana ETFs among investors. So.
We're visiting with ETF.com's Laura Krieger. We're going through her 2019 ETF predictions. All right, Laura, your next prediction, I would say this is the one that surprised me the most, just because you and I have debated this topic several times on the show this year. Now, I'm not saying I was right, but I got to tell you, I'm feeling a little bit better. So you predict ESG ETFs continue to underwhelm. Of course, ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance. These are socially responsible ETFs. So why is that? Because my sense is you're a believer in the ESG approach to investing overall. What's the issue with the ETFs?
Well, yeah, it does pain me. It kills me to have to make this prediction a little bit. I'm dying on the inside. And part of the reason is the fact that you right just now had to explain what ESG meant. I think that the acronym is not doing anybody any favors, and it is just this big elephant in the room that we can't get around, is this clunky acronym. But even setting that aside, in terms of net flows for the year, socially responsible ETFs actually ended 2018 pretty much in the same spot that they started it. There's about $7.7 billion in assets under management in total for the space, which is pretty much where we started 2018 from. So I just don't think that there has been enough price competition in this space or competitive performance to lure people away from the way that they've been doing the tried and true funds. And I think that those two factors are why advisors in particular aren't picking up ESG ETFs, even though maybe their clients want them to do so. There was a story in ThinkAdvisor, I think, yesterday or the day before, about how individual investors actually really want impact investments, but their advisors are sort of just shrugging their shoulders at it. And I think as long as ESG funds continue to be more expensive than vanilla funds, and they continue to just sort of offer middling, maybe they outperform, maybe they don't, but it's a very middling sort of performance, you're not going to see the ESG space take off. Now, that kills me to say it, because I really do think that there is a hunger for these types of ETFs out on the market. Speaking with investors, they want this. They want sustainable investing to succeed. But it's just not good enough yet. So.
Well, and I think, we've been watching the two Vanguard ESG ETF offerings. I think these are a good proxy for whether or not the investor interests exist. These are, pretty low cost, not as cheap as just plain vanilla index funds, but definitely low cost. And they have some assets, but they certainly haven't been lighting the world on fire. So I think those will be interesting watching moving forward. Laura, we're running a bit short on time here. I do want to get to one more of your predictions as it pertains to ETFs. You say we'll see many more launches of defined outcome ETFs, asset allocation ETFs, and alternative ETFs, but you say 95% won't get any traction with investors. Why is that?
Right. So I think these more sophisticated strategies are going to be the bulk of new launches from here on out, because core is done. Core equity funds, everybody's got one now. So this is where issuers really see that they can set themselves apart and they can establish themselves. But, there's two drawbacks or two obstacles in the road for that. So the first obstacle is that these funds are from new issuers, and that means they don't have the name recognition of a Vanguard or an iShares or so on and so forth. So they're just going to struggle to gain market share from that reason alone. But secondly, a lot of advisors that I speak to kind of pride themselves on coming up with an investment strategy for their clients. They use ETFs like puzzle pieces to put together a strategy for their clients. And that's how they achieve alpha. That's how they add value. And so I'm not sure that these kinds of advisors are really going to want an all-in-one strategy, no matter how well it works, right? They'd rather sell their own smarts than somebody else's. And so I think that's another headwind for these sorts of defined outcome, target risk, sophisticated strategy ETFs. They just do too much.
No, and I think especially on the asset allocation ETFs, I would say from an investor behavior standpoint, these things are probably wonderful. They'd probably be a great mousetrap for a lot of investors.
Right.
But I think to your point, an advisor doesn't want their client statement showing up with one holding on it. And so that's probably why they've been slow to catch on. Laura, we'll have to leave it there. Excellent job on the predictions. I am hoping to have my ETF predictions out here in the next week or so. So we might have to have a friendly wager on how many we each get right. Really appreciate your time today. Happy holidays. Look forward to connecting in 2019. Thank you.
Same to you both. Bye.
That was ETF.com's Laura Krieger.